1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll be looking today at verses 31 down through verse 58. This is probably one of the more well-known stories in all the Scripture, but it's probably one of the... It's not understood by a lot of people. They understand the history part of it, and everybody refers to this, even in the world, you know, when the little guy goes up against a big guy, they say David's fighting Goliath, where it's in a ball game or whatever it may be. And that's all they get from the story. They don't see how that it pictures Christ. And if you don't see that first and foremost, you've missed it. You've just missed it. Because all the Scriptures speak of Him. Remember when our Lord was walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts were heavy, and He showed them from Moses, and then the Psalms, and then all the prophets, how they spoke of Him. And it's all about Him. But this really happened. This is not just some fairy tale. This David was a real man. He was a real man, chosen of God, set apart by God, and was the first king of Israel. He's probably spoken of more in all the Scripture than any other man, probably more than Abraham, because our Lord sits upon the throne of David. He comes through the line of David. All this was set apart to bring Him into this world. And He rules and He reigns now as King. As King. So today we'll come to beginning verse 31. We looked last week how that Goliath said, "Send me a man." You have the Philistines on this one mountain and the Israelites on the other. The Israelites are a picture of all God's elect, chosen people. And Goliath comes out for 40 days and he says, "Send me a man. Send me a man to fight against me. Send me a representative. There's no use for both these armies to fight. I'll fight for us, and you send me somebody that will stand against me." And nobody could. Nobody was able. And nobody is able. The flesh is not able. The flesh is no match for sin. The flesh is no match for the world. And the flesh is no match for Satan. I know religion, they have no understanding of nothing, really. And they say, "Oh, we're going to take on Satan." They're so foolish. So foolish. But here he stands and he taunts them for 40 days. But can you imagine how the children of Israel felt? And I see here how God is bringing His people. He brings them to a point. And they stand there, and the longer He taunts them, the lower they feel. What are we to do? Is there not anybody can fight this man? Is there not anybody can conquer him? And then all of a sudden, and it just so happens, here comes David. Only one knows who he is his brothers. Nobody else. He's been watching sheep, his father's sheep. And his father sends him on purpose to check on his brothers. And now he comes. And when he comes, he sees this giant standing there in all of his armor, just bragging and just boasting. And David said, he's defying the armies of God. He said, in essence, where is your God? Your God is nothing. Is that not what he says? Is that not what the world says? And they asked David one day, they said, "Well, where is your God?" He said, "Our God's in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. But David knew, and he said, "Is there not a cause?" He knew that God's honor and God's glory was at stake. And he said, this man stands and he defies the armies of Israel. In essence, he was saying that it is impossible. In essence, that giant was saying it is impossible. It is impossible for anybody to stand against me. That's what he was saying. He didn't know God. Does that not sound familiar? And when the world stands today, and you know what they do, and it's the world, whatever, wherever you find the world, whether you find it dressed in religion, whether you find it dressed in a brothel, whether you find it in the White House, I don't care where you find it, it's of Satan. He's the god of this world. And the world hates God, and they hate the people of God. And they stand and defy our God. And David said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" I believe it made David upset. The zeal of thine house, our Lord said, hath eaten him up. The first thing he did when he came into Jerusalem, you know what he did? He went to the temple, and he took a whip, and he drove out those money changers, and I don't think he's laughing about it, do you? I don't believe he was. He said, you've made my father's house a den of thieves. God's honor, God's glory, God's majesty is at stake. And here he is defying them. And David said, is there not a cause? And they hear what David says. And in verses 31 through 39, we see David here with King Saul. It says in verse 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and Saul sent for David. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of the giant. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine. Word got back to Saul what David was asking. That some, you mean somebody's concerned for his honor and glory? Nobody else was. He was. He says, I'll fight this man. Now, don't you remember, he's just a young man. Some say he's maybe in his teens. Some maybe in his early 20s. It really doesn't matter. But this shows that his strength and his ability rest in God. It says the Spirit of God rest upon David, came upon David. And he said, I'll go and fight this Philistine. Look what Saul said. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. And why did he give this reason why he was not able? Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. I can picture he probably even looked something about like Jeffrey. He's not a man of war. He's not a man that had been in the military for 30 or 40 years. And he said, you can't go. You're just not able. You can't take him on. What makes you think that you can take him on? That's what he's saying. You're but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. Now watch what David said. How's David going to convince this king? And what I see here, David has to have Saul's permission to go. David just didn't just come up into the battle and say, okay, I'll go take him on. The law has to be satisfied. God's law has to be honored. Saul gives him, we're going to see, Saul gives him permission to go. Watch this. And Saul said to David, verse 34, and David said unto Saul, thy servant. Notice that he always keeps referring to himself, he's God's servant. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. He was not ashamed to be a sheep herder. He wasn't ashamed of it. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of the mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. How many in here this morning would like to take on a lion or a bear? Now, what I picture here, it says that when the lion came, it grabbed that lamb, and David, however he did it, maybe with his staff or whatever, he hit that lion and took that lamb. Well, you know what the lion did then? It turned on David. And it says here that David grabbed it by the beard. You ever seen a lion's beard? You ever seen that big mange around his head? When you grab something by the mange, he's not standing out here somewhere shooting at him with his sling. He's grabbing him by his bare hands. And he said, God delivered me, not from the mouth of the lion, but from the paw of the lion. Have you ever seen a lion's paw? I looked on the internet and it showed a lion and a tiger fighting. And that lion would take its, or that tiger would take its paw and just hit that other one in the face. He would stand on its hind feet just like a man and just take its paws. That's what David was against. And he said, God delivered me from the paw of the lion and the bear. God did it. unless David had been put in this situation, he'd have never told it. I don't think he ever told it to his daddy, probably never told it to his brothers, never bragged about it. But God delivered him. You know what? You know where he was at? He was out there with them sheep. And why would David do that? Why would David take on a lion and a bear if he loved the sheep? He loved the sheep. He did it to protect the sheep. David not only delivered the lamb, he didn't just deliver him and drive him off. He said, I killed him. There's a difference. He didn't just run him off for him to come back. He killed him. And we're going to see, you know what he does to Goliath? He doesn't just wound him. He kills him. He didn't just leave him laying on the battlefield. He killed him. You know what he did to him? We're going to see he takes his head off. He kills him. And David said, King Saul, I was watching my father's sheep, and there was a lion and a bear came, and God delivered them two animals into my hands. I can tell you this. If I had to choose which one to take on, I'd rather take a man on any day than a lion and a bear. But you know what God was doing to David? Now, David's over here by himself. Nobody's watching. Nobody's around. It's just as him and God and those sheep. God is preparing him. God is teaching him. God is training him to do what? Lead his people. Teaching him. And listen, God will send lions and bears in your life. And he will teach you to trust him. And God will deliver them into your hands. You know why? There'll come a day you'll have to stand against the giant. And God will bring it back to your memory. And God says, I delivered them into your hands. Our God's able. He's able. He's able. He's able. And he did. David knew it. He knew it. He said, this giant ain't anything. We'll take care of him. And he did it because he loved the sheep. David was no ordinary shepherd. Matthew Henry said, the lion and the bear were enemies only to me and to my sheep. And it was in defense of my own interest that I attacked them. But this Philistine is an enemy of God and Israel, and he defies the armies of the living God, and it is for his honor, that I will go fight him. He says, those that honor me, I'll honor him. You know what honors God? You know what honors God more than anything else? Faith. Faith honors God. Faith believes God. David's not trusting in his own strength. He's trusting in God. God delivered him. Verse 37 again, and David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And watch this. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. And I say he had to give him permission, and he did. He said, you go then. But look what Saul did. And this is what the world will always do. They try to dress him in his own armor. Now, this was probably not Saul's own personal armor, but armor that was in someone else's armor. It said then, verse 38, and Saul armed David with his armor and put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. He's dressing him just like the giant. He says, you wear these. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed, or some said he believed, he started to go with this armor. For he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. All this is this armor is a picture of depending upon the arm of the flesh. Arming yourself with the flesh, and say, you can go, but let's arm you with the flesh. You need to depend upon these things. And David said, I can't. How did he fight the lion and the bear? He didn't have on this armor. He didn't have on any of those things. He was just a shepherd. And when our Lord came to this earth, dressed in human flesh, outwardly he looked weak, There was nothing about him that we would desire him, but he was sent of God, and he was God's shepherd. Remember what David said in Psalms 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. And God had told him this. He said, I've not proved them. And David put them off. And listen, the world would love for us to dress in their armor and to be like them. Isn't that right? And there's that temptation because it looks impressive to the world. They've said, I've not proved it. It's not by our strength. It's not by our might. God is teaching us here in this story that it's the Lord Jesus Christ, that it's His battle. And we don't fight in the arm of the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How does God defeat the enemy? How He's always defeated the enemy? With the gospel. It pleased God to the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe. Take unto yourself the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When the enemy comes against you, how do you stand against him? The shield of faith. As it is written. As it is written. And this word is a two-edged sword. This is the word of God. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. His word. And David put those off. Now watch this. How did he go? Verse 40. He took in his staff in his hand. That shepherd's staff. That little stick with a crook. That staff. As he led God's sheep, he took his staff in his hand. He chose him 5 smooth stone out of the brook. He put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in the scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I don't know why he chose 5 smooth stones, and everybody tries to say what they meant. I don't know. Some believe that Goliath had 4 brothers, and he meant to take on all five of them. I can see that. But there was a reason, and he picked them out. He chose out of that brook 5 smooth stones. And with one of those stones, he's going to defeat the giant. Wherefore, as by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. One sacrifice. Who is the stone? Christ is the stone. He said, upon this I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 5 is the number for grace. He stood in the grace of God, in the strength of grace. He stood in Christ. But he picked this up. And this is what he's going to take on this giant with. This is what he's going to use. He's our representative. He's representing all of Israel. In verse 41, the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare his shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He said, what in the world have you done? You've sent this right here to come fight me? What a joke. Is this all you got? Don't even waste my time. That's what he's saying. He disdained him. And he doesn't have armor. You picture him, he's coming out with a shepherd's staff in his hand. He's got a sling over, in his hand, and he's got a little bag, a shepherd's bag hanging over his side. That's all he's got that he could see. Despise not the day of small things. Why does God always work this way? This is how God always works. This is not how God sometimes works. This is how God always works. Why? That no flesh should glory in His sight. Did you hear that? That no flesh. God chose the foolish things of the world. The foolish things of the world to confound the wise, that no flesh ever glory in His sight. God won't share His glory with anybody.
None. Who gets the victory?
God does.
What did he tell the king a few weeks ago when they didn't know what to do? He said, the battle's not yours, the battle's mine.
God does it in such a way.
He always does it in such a way that he gets all the glory. He saves sinners in such a way that he gets all the glory. He set it up that way. To the world, the preaching of the gospel's foolishness. So they've got to get gimmicks and gadgets and have on put on plays, and they've got to use all these things to trick people into making a decision. Why?
They don't believe in the power of God.
And I'll tell you this morning, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Why would God take a man who's nothing but a sinner, who's a nothing and a nobody, and God speak through that sinner and save another sinner? That God get all the glory. That no flesh glory in his sight. And God teaches us that over and over and over again. You know why? Because we keep forgetting it. That's right. We'll run put on some other armor every time. That's right. We try to figure it out. I've got to show you that it's not you. It's him. And God's not only going to prove to Goliath, he's going to prove to everybody else, David said, that this assembly and this whole world may know that there is a God in Israel. You remember what Elijah prayed when he stood on Mount Carmel? Now Elijah, one preacher, one prophet, he's standing before about 850 false preachers. And he's been mocking them. And he goes out and he builds his altar and he prays. It's only just a few words, but the main thing was, God, that these people may know that you're God. And the fire fell. I tell you this much, God will defend his honor. Yes, he will. He will. And he does. In verse 43, in the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of what? The Lord of hosts. You remember when the servant asked Elisha that day, and he was scared to death. He looked out, and their whole town was just surrounded by the enemy. And the servant come to Elisha, and he said, do you not see the enemy? And Elisha prayed, and he said, God, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes, and the whole hills were full of chariots of fire. And you know what he said? There's more of us than there are of them. You know who that is? That's the Lord of hosts. His angels encamp round about them that fear him. His angels, a ministering spirit, sends forth the minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. The Lord of hosts. He's the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. You come to me with a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of God, the authority of Almighty God. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from off thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth and all the earth. And all the earth may know what? That there's a God in Israel. Everybody who is jealous for God's honor and God's glory, their main concern is that this world may know that there's a God in Israel. Isn't it? He's God. Turn with me, I want to show you. I didn't write this verse down, but I think I can find it. In Revelation chapter 19, I want to show you this, where David said he'd give their flesh to the fowls of the air.
Revelation 19, verse 21. Talking about when the Lord comes back, who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And said, verse 21 of Revelation 19, "And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." He said, this is what I'm going to do to you. Not only to you, but to your whole army. How could he do that? How could he stand? The Spirit of God was upon him. He's not only just David, he's the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember one day, I think it was Herod, one sent news to Christ, said, "You better quit preaching or something." You know what our Lord said? "You go tell that fox, I'm going to be preaching today and tomorrow doing miracles. You just go tell him." He's God. They couldn't touch him till his hour was come. But do you see this picture? Here our Lord is going to do battle with his enemy. And he's doing it alone. He didn't have anybody else going with him. And listen. In Isaiah chapter 63, verse 1. "Who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone, and the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, and trample them in my fury. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiments. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. And I looked, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore mine own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury. And I will bring down their strength to the earth." Verse 47. "And David said, and that this assembly may know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And he did. And he does. And he does. The battle is not yours. The battle's his. He's able. And he does. Watch this. Verse 48, we have the battle. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." As we looked at a couple of weeks ago, when our Lord went into Gethsemane, he took the battlefield first. He knew what he was doing. He wasn't afraid. Remember, when they came to take him, he said, "Whom did you come to seek?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "I'm he." But he said, "If you've come to take me, you've got to let these go." He is our representative, standing in our place. And he ran toward Goliath. And David put his hand in his bag, and took thence a stone, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. And you read that verse, and you can read 10 different commentaries, and you'll get 10 different opinions. Some say that when David was running, Goliath threw his head back in life, and his helmet fell off. Some believe that when he threw the stone, it went through his eye hole. No, I believe it hit him right there. I believe it was just like a missile. You know what a sling is? It's two little pieces of string, got a piece of leather in the middle, and you put the rock in it, and you take it between your fingers, and you sling it, and you let it go. And David reached in his bag, one of those five stones, and he picked out one, put it in the sling, and threw it, and hit that giant right square between the eyes. That's where God sent it. And that giant falls on his face before David and has to worship him. You see the picture? But you imagine what everybody's thinking.
Can you imagine what Israel's thinking? Can you imagine what the Philistines are thinking? This is our champion. He fought the battle alone. Alone. But the battle's not over. Now, if it had just hit him and he falls on his face, they'd have said, oh, he's just knocked out. That's not the end of the story. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword. David has no sword. And he drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now this is the part of the story they leave out of the Sunday school class. Isn't it? They don't talk about it. Now you say, that's just too gory. But David takes that giant's own sword. He pulls it out of the sheath. And he cuts his head off. Because when he cut his head off, there was no doubt to everybody else, he's dead now. We're going to see, it seems like, we're going to read on the next few verses. It just keeps mentioning, every time it mentions David from here on out, you know what he's got? He's got that head in his hand. He's carrying that head around. And they didn't just stop with the Philistine with Goliath. When they defeated him, they started running after the rest of them. And you picture this. This was a bloody, gory mess. That's right. The world don't want to talk about that part of it. But he destroyed him with his own weapon. Listen. We were all of our lifetime. Listen. For as much then as we are the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same. Why? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. How did he destroy Satan, who had the power of death? Through death. He took his own sword, and cut his head off with it. That's what our Lord did. That through he had the power of death. And that we were all of our lifetime subject to bondage. And when our Lord died, he conquered him and took his head off. What did he say? The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. And he'll bruise Christ's heel by making him suffer his humanity. But he bruised his head, his authority, his kingdom. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. You know what? You take off somebody's head, you shut up their mouth. He ain't talking now, is he? He's not defying our God now. Who took his head off? God took his head off. David didn't need it. He didn't need a sword. He had a sling, but he used his own sword. And we're going to see in a few chapters, David goes to the temple that one day and he asked the priest, he said, is there any weapon here? He said, Goliath's sword. David said, there's none like that. He laid it up as a testimony for God. Who was it? Haman that plotted to kill Mordecai, wanted to have him hanged. And the very same gallows that he built to hang Mordecai on, Haman was hanged on. There's a lesson there. Our God's able. Don't you be afraid. Don't you be afraid. Verse 52. And the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted. Well, when God brings you to the end of yourself and you're confused and don't know what's going to happen, don't know if you're going to live or die, and God sends you the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, did you see what he did? They're not afraid anymore. It says they arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines.
until thou came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of the Shemah, even to Gath and to Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. It says that when our Lord died, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Verse 54, and David, here it is, and David took the head of the Philistines and brought it to Jerusalem, and put his armor in his tent. Now see, Jerusalem, David eventually takes over Jerusalem. He conquers Jerusalem, sets up his throne in Jerusalem, but the Jebusites are there now. Can you imagine what they think when here comes David carrying the head of this giant? No question about what he did. No question about it. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistines, he said to Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner says, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire, thou whose son the stripling is. And David returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. And Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. He comes back to the king, that puppet king Saul. And he stands before him. This is the same one said, you can't fight this man. And David is standing here, clutching that head. I picture him, got it by the hair of the head. He said, here he is. He's dead. What does that say to us this morning? Our enemy is dead. We don't have anything to be afraid of, Danny. One of your worst fears, I know what it is, it's death. Isn't it? We fear the unknown, but our Lord took away the sting of death. We don't have anything to be afraid of. The world tries to intimidate. Satan tries to intimidate. And even sin, even self, that's my worst enemy. And I'm no match for it. But he conquered it. He conquered it. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? You're not under the law. You're under grace. We're not trying to keep the law. We're not trying to do our best. We're not trying to muster up our faith. Most of the time, if we'd be honest, we have to say, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. I wished I could believe. We was talking the other day. It's believing that God is what? That he's able. The three Hebrew children, they're getting ready to be cast in the fiery furnace. They said, if you don't bow to our gods, we're going to kill you. And when they turned the furnace up 7 times hotter, and they said, if our God wants to deliver us, he's able. But if he don't deliver us, we're still not bowing to your God. You see what I'm saying? Oh, can you? Oh, that's intimidating. Well, we're going to turn it up as hot as it can get. God enable us. God help us to believe him and know that he's able. These things were written for our admonition. This is not just recorded, it's history. Danny, this was written for me and you right today to encourage us to look to our Lord. He's our champion. And God brings us, and he keeps bringing us to things that we cannot handle. He keeps bringing us to those things. Keeps leading us that way to teach us that we cannot handle it. But he can. And he does. In his own time. They may taunt you for 40 days.
That could represent years. Paul said God gave him a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed that God would remove it. You say, well, what was that thorn in the flesh? Paul said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet him. You know what God said? My grace is sufficient. And it is. And Paul said, I will glory in mine infirmities. Now that's a big statement. I glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And the Spirit of God dwells in every believer. That's right. He's the earnest of the Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession. You're His. You're His, Israel. You're His elect. And they will not a hair fall from your head. The very hair of your head are numbered. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Does He take care of them? He'll take care of you.